Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the what? We're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 1st, 2018. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. If you haven't made the choice for Yeshua already, then you need to make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Real simple. So many people, they just get on there and don't do anything, and, you know, I can't find you unless you give me a phone number. Anyway, phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find, let's go back to that. If you call my cell phone number, you might get a better response from me if you send me a text first, because lately, for some reason, I've been getting so many business-type phone calls, you know, that they're not supposed to call me, but they call me anyway, and it gets frustrating. So I admit I have neglected answering a few calls when I didn't recognize them. Anyway, you can always find updates to the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast on the net internationally. It's on YouTube Live right now and on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base, and we'll change this next week, but this week it's Oslo, Norway, Dublin, Ireland, Bulgaria, Tehran, Iran, Lagos, Nigeria. Of course, pray for the Christians over there. There's a lot of them getting slaughtered over there. And, of course, cities in the United States, such as Fort Worth, Texas, Kansas City, Missouri, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Portland, Oregon, San Diego, California, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our programs, at least when they go to podcasts later tonight. Also, follow and share us at Twitter, or on Twitter, I don't know if you're at, on, whatever, Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now prayer, we'll bring on tonight's guest, and we'll be a good program. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua, all in Yeshua's name, we pray. Father, I just pray that what comes out tonight comes out by you, Father, and not us, and give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, are there any prophetic implications of the United States Embassy moving from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in May on the 70th anniversary of Israel becoming a nation? Well, what the world fails to recognize, for the most part, is the title deed to the Holy Land is written down and recorded for posterity. It's recorded where it's recorded in the Holy Bible. The Bible predates the Quran by 1,000 years and is revered by both Jews and Christians alike. It's written down, giving clear boundaries and jurisdictions for the land. It is the oldest title deed in the world, which states unequivocally that the land belongs to Israel. There is no other nation on the face of the earth that can promote to match the claim that Israel has to their land, to the land of promise. No other nation can justify the claim that their land, by the way Israel can, as to an everlasting divine covenant. Okay, there is no clan, no tribe, no people on our planet who possess a written title deed to their land that is written by the hand of God other than Israel. Today we will ask Pastor Carl Gallups on his thoughts on this, because he is a best-selling author. He's a senior pastor since 1987. He's a radio talk show host, heard nationally, internationally, TV, radio guest, commentator, former Florida decorated law enforcement officer. He's a founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network, and he's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. And anyway, he's written 6 books now, and he's got another one coming soon. We'll get these real quickly. The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, and his latest one is Gods and Thrones. And that one he really knocked, they're all great books, but he really knocked it out of the park with Gods and Thrones. So let's welcome Pastor Carl. Are you there with me, Carl?
I am here, Pastor Dan. Thank you for that marvelous introduction. You're a good friend and brother in the Lord, and it's always an honor to be with you, brother.
Hey, man, I really enjoy having you. One of the reasons I like you so well is, you know, to me, you know, I'm not mainstream at all. You know, there are so many different perks about us and our ministry, but you know, to me, you represent what I think that all normal, I don't know how to even call it normal, but all what I'd like to see in mainstream, pastors, because, you know, you don't let things hold you back. You know, if you want to talk about something that's political, you talk about it. If you, whatever the needs of the people are, you talk about it.
You're very, very kind, brother. Listen. All glory to Jesus for that. If that's the way you see me, and if God is using me in that way, all glory to Him. I can look back over my life. Isn't it interesting how we can see the hand of God a little clearer oftentimes when we look back? And if what you're saying is true, let me say a couple things about that before we move on. First of all, my 2 main goals in life, and I've said this to you privately before, and we've, I think, talked about it on your show. Number one is to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ unashamedly, just like you do in your ministry. I mean, that's my main goal. Listen, if America goes away tomorrow, if we live under a complete communistic rule and church has to go underground, guess what? I'm still going to be a Christian. I'm still a child of Jesus Christ, and I'm still going to be an ambassador for His kingdom. We may have to adjust our methods of ministry outreach, and we will adjust, but we will continue to reach people for Jesus Christ. That's my heart. That's my main goal in life. This world is not my home. Now, having said that, I also feel like you and I and our listeners that are living in the United States, and this is not to say anything disparaging about any other nation of the world. I know you have a large international audience, and so do I, but for those of us that are living in the United States and the handful of other nations like this nation that has the freedom to look what we're doing. Look what we're doing on the radio. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the words. We're sharing our opinions regardless of what they are. We can do that in the United States. We can go into the streets and do that. We can go almost anywhere and do that without going to jail or being killed for our beliefs, et cetera, et cetera. So my second goal in life is to try to preserve this constitutional republic. And for the sake of the church, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of our children and our grandchildren. And a lot of people would look at somebody like you and me and say, well, preachers, you guys just need to stay out of politics. It always amazes me when I hear that, Pastor Dan, for a couple of reasons. Number one, politics, look it up, folks. It simply means the way in which we choose to govern ourselves, the way in which we choose to regulate our societies with norms and rules and legislative acts and laws. Politics. What do you mean we should stay out of the way in which we choose to live as a society? What do you mean we need to stay out of the way in which we choose to govern ourselves and what the norms of our culture are? Of course we should not. Jesus said we're the salt and the light, Pastor Dan. You know that. And so, yeah. I think that's what's one of the bad things wrong with our nation right now is that so many pastors over the decades, over the last 100 years, we've checked out of the political process. I don't mean we have to, you know, rally at every political rally and wave flags and choose a singular candidate and all of us get behind a singular candidate. No, what I mean is we better be the salt, we better be the light, we better stay engaged, or we're liable to lose the freedoms that we do have, we're liable to lose the ability that we do have to take the gospel to the world. So having said both of those things, brother, thank you for your kind words, but that's my heart. And maybe, you know, me being a cop for all of those years and now a pastor for many decades, you put all that together, wrap it up in a bundle, and there I am.
It's a good bundle, brother. You know, we all have pasts and things, but your past has allowed you to, even with your reports and the things that you do, you know, you make sure you're in your books, of course. You're a stickler for details. You know what I'm saying? You present a case in a way that most people can understand it. But it's a sound case. It's like building evidence and, guess what? You had a background in law enforcement. So that works. Back to you.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. I really do. I look back on my life like that. And I don't know, this program is not about me, but you brought it up, so I'm just finishing it up. But you know, I look back on my life, and it's the same for any of your listeners that are under the blood and moving down the road for Jesus Christ. If you look in the rearview mirror, you will see some roads that you turned and the hand of God and where he's brought you where you are. And I look back on my life, and you look back on your life. You and I have talked about this on the air and off the air, but I look back in my law enforcement career, and I can see where the Lord has used that in my life. When I came, I'm 32 years in one church, brother, as the pastor. And I can remember 32 years ago when I came there, the first 4 or 5 years, there were some things in that church that needed cleaning up. It took a lot of courage. It took a lot of strength. I literally, and I don't want to go into all the details unless you want me to, but I literally got death threats. My family got death threats. There were some power plays, power people in the church and in the community that didn't like us standing in the word like we were. You know, some nasty things happened. But because I used to wear a badge and gun, and because I've been shot at before, and because I've had death threats before, I mean, the Lord used that to help me to stand up to all of that. And then, as you said, my preaching and teaching and book writing, I kind of carry an investigative method, you know, of searching things out, comparing scripture to scripture, doing word studies, looking at the headlines, bringing them into the word, making things applicable. And, you know, so I can see, right. I mean, people ask me all the time, how'd you go from being a cop to a preacher? That sounds so weird. And I say, well, first of all, it was the Lord. It was the Lord. That's my simple answer. But secondly, it's not as big a leap as you might think, because a lot of the things in law enforcement can be used in ministry, you know, reading people, discerning people, standing up against attack, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, it all goes hand in hand. But again, all praise to the Lord.
Yeah, amen. I'm going to throw something else your way. You know, we did it. I know we do it. Anyway, I try to have you on at least once a month. Sometimes it ends up twice, but it doesn't matter. But in an interview we did about a month or so ago, I don't know. I'm terrible. Once something gets about 4 weeks away from me, I am, you know.
Yeah, anyway, I'm right there with you.
We recently did a radio program, and you were talking about you believed that some things were going to be revealed this year, you know, in 2018. And they were very sound, and I listened to them, and I prayed about it. And I even called that program The Revealing. Because it is, whether you like it or not, Carl, it is pretty prophetic. And I'm right on board with you on that one. And so that's why, to me, it's so important that to get your opinion, and you were a pimple, will come from everything that you've looked at about this move, you know, the 70th anniversary of Israel. To me, that's kind of prophetic anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But to move the embassy, well, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, no, you're right, brother. And you said whether I like it or not, I know what you're referring to, because I not refer to myself as a prophet. I mean, I don't say, hey, I'm Prophet Carl Gallup. And listen, I'm not ashamed. I mean, if God spoke to me tonight in my heart and said, I've appointed you to be a prophet, then, you know, that'd be different. But listen, I'm a preacher of the word. The prophecies have already been written. However, there is the spirit and the gift of prophecy. And I'm a firm believer that if a preacher of the word like you and me, God has used you prophetically. God has used me prophetically. I'm never really aware. I mean, as I'm speaking, preaching, teaching, and saying, look, I think here's what's getting ready to happen. Here's what we're getting ready to see. I mean, I'm not thinking in my mind, wow, listen to me prophesying. You know, I'm just, I'm just preaching and teaching. I mean, I know what the Word of God says. I see what the headlines say. I can see things coming together. I have a very vivid mind. You know, I can see pictures in my mind of things happening in the Middle East. And so I will speak those things. And then oftentimes they do turn out to be prophetic. But and you know me, I don't set dates and times for events.
Right.
And I don't claim to have special knowledge. But thank you. But you're right. I mean, look, brother. You know, I said you raised two things. You talked about the year of revealing and things will be uncovered and unveiled. And then you talked about specifically Israel and Jerusalem. So let me tie those together. Yeah, I have felt for the last 2 years, particularly the last year and a half, I mean, just before, during the primaries, I just knew in my heart that Donald Trump was going to win. I just did. I mean, I guess that was prophetic.
Amen.
It wasn't like I was all rah-rah in his camp, a sycophant for Donald Trump, like I thought he was the savior of the world. I could just feel it in my chest that we were going to move this way, that something, that God was going to shake the world and the United States in good ways and, you know, maybe in some judgmental ways, some judgment ways. But I felt like he was going to use Donald Trump to do it. And so even as it got close to the general election, I started speaking that publicly on TV and radio and just telling people, look, I could be wrong. I'm not claiming to be a prophet from God. I didn't receive a special word from God that I know of, but I just feel this. And so, you know, but I said back then, in the night he won, I said two things. I said, first of all, folks, do not sit back and relax. Donald Trump is getting ready to have all of the doors and gates and windows of hell opened against him. And people got mad at me for saying that. How can you say that? You're always so negative. You know, that's what they say about people who have the gift of prophecy anyway, right?
Right.
Yeah. Why don't you say something positive? Well, if I could, I would, but I just knew that with the stances he was taking, that the gates of hell were going to come against him. And you and I have done programs on this, brother. Look, I mean, witches all over the world uniting, doing, you know, seances against him, occultic rituals against him, uniting on the Internet. I mean, the deep state, brother, the three-letter agencies of the government, nations of the world, leaders of the world, breathing out threats against him, the United States, the dossier, the spying, the, oh, my gosh. And it's still going on, the investigating Mueller for over a year. I mean, he was hardly in office, and they opened up an investigation on him. So I was right about that, and I had no idea that all that was coming. I just knew in my heart that that was going to happen. The second thing I said, and I've said it on your show several times, is that God's going to start using this whole scenario, and particularly Donald Trump, to unveil, to pull back the curtains at the Wizard of Oz so that we can see the man behind the curtains pulling the levers and pushing the buttons. He's going to use Donald Trump to pull those curtains back. Or at least Donald Trump's presence in Washington. Again, I'm not saying Donald Trump is the savior or the revealer, but I think God is using this whole scenario. And then a few months ago, you're right, when we rounded the corner to 2018, I really felt it. I still do. I mean, we've got the midterms coming up. I think Donald Trump knows a whole lot more than he's saying. I think other people, whistleblowers, patriots, I think they know. I think plans are being laid. I think God is giving special wisdom and discernment to people. We're watching people come in and out of the White House, getting fired, getting hired. We're watching people move in and out of Washington. We're watching people that we once thought were heroes that are getting ready to go to jail, getting investigated. I'm telling you, brother, this deep state thing has been going on for many decades. The last decade or two of the Internet age and the digital age and the spying hacking age has gotten worse and worse. Some years back, I began talking about the deep state because I was connected to Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Mike Zullo, the Obama fraud investigation. We had CIA whistleblowers come to us, reveal deep, dark, nasty stuff years ago. Mike Zullo and I started talking about it on the radio. We were laughed at. We were mocked. We were scoffed. We were called names. Headline news all over the world. My name is in the headlines of print media calling me a nut job and a tinfoil hat. But here we are.
I read that one.
Yeah.
I'm joking, but I did. I read that one. I read one of those, and I cracked up when I saw it.
Yes.
Back to you. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay, because the point is, I mean, I don't care. I'm at the age I don't care what anybody says about me. I can sleep. I can look myself in the mirror and sleep with myself. I know who I am, and I know what I said and what I didn't say. But I can
right.
tell you that all of those, all of that mocking from years back, now it's in the headline news, and people are talking about it as though they knew it all along. I mean, the term deep state, the spying, the fake FISA warrants, the fake documents, the fake dossier, the fake birth certificate that we have proven. I mean, on and on and on I can go with these things that we know. The CIA whistleblower informant who was involved in making the software, who was spying on Donald Trump before he ever was president. We've got the hard copy records of that. So, I mean, we knew all of this stuff. And we were talking about it, but because it hadn't been revealed to the whole public yet, people thought we were crazy. Well, so anyway, because of the things that I know, and because of the things that I believe the Lord is speaking to my heart, and because you and I know the Word of God, we see where all this is going. I just really think God is, this year, I think He is going to keep pulling back the curtains. And, of course, it's easy for me to say that and sound smart now because of all that has already happened, but you can kind of see the handwriting on the wall now. But remember, I said this over a year ago, too.
Okay,
and
wait a minute, Carl. We got to break in. We got less than a minute for a break.
Okay,
and
anyway, tell them
how to find you, and we'll come back and talk some more.
Okay, good. Yeah, but CarlGallups.com, CarlGallups, CarlGallups.com. And thanks for letting me ramble on, brother.
That's just fine. Folks, all you have to do is if you just put Carl Gallups in and Google it, it'll be the first thing that comes up, first person. And I know with mine, I like it, for Google, I don't even have to have a link for your Carl anymore. I just put C in my Google and it comes up Carl Gallups. I got the most go there a lot.
Bless your
here.
Heart, brother.
Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. It's sure a blessing to be here on this nice warm day. Well, it is warm here where we're at now today, finally. It's a pleasure to be with you folks. I'm going to try and get through this really quick because I really want to get back to this program that I'm doing today. But my appeal to you today is, of course, you know, we need all the normal things for the Wichita Mission Church and your support. All of the normal things, but really there's something that we need today that is just a really, really high priority. And so I'm going to ask you folks to help me out with this. First of all, go to you folks over there in Wichita. If you folks are over there in Wichita, besides all the normal stuff that we would need from your clothing, so on and so forth, we need preferably King James Version large print Bibles. We're actually out of Bibles that we give out to the people. I thought some more were coming in from another source. It didn't. And so we are desperate for them. You see, people come to us for many things, but one of the major things they come to us for is Bibles. We're out of Bibles. Imagine that, a mission church without Bibles. We need either, I will put up a link on the pastor's page. I'll go see if I can find some places where people can buy them by the case or whatever. Now, if you want to get a little better Bible for them, I mean, if you're around a Sam's Warehouse, I mean, for about $10 to $15 at most places, you can pick up a large print King James Bible, and I mean a large print one. And the reason we use large print is because so many people out there on the street, they lose their glasses. They don't have glasses, but they can read a large print Bible. And the ones that are like in the $10 to $15 range, like Sam's, they got one for $15. It's got like what they call leather flex cover on it, and it's really durable. but we'll take any kind of Bibles. The last Bibles we just got through giving away, they were what we called the Red Bibles. They were Bibles that belonged to the Salvation Army, but when the Salvation Army made a pact with the United Way, they got rid of all the Bibles in their lobby because they couldn't give them away and accept the same federal funding, if you want to believe that. And that was about 6 years ago. But we got cases and cases of these Bibles from somebody that worked there that he actually even got dismissed for not throwing the Bibles away, instead giving them away to a church. But anyway, make a long story short, we need Bibles. And, you know, preferably large print King James. But support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. Men, women, and children from all walks of life come in. They've just had bad breaks. We don't really get any help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that supported us that we're now coming up on starting our 19th year in June. We minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even like to go through, whether it's dark or daylight. So anyway, folks, pray about it. And remember, we are all responsible to care for one another as we are what? We are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help with the poor, you enjoy these radio programs, well, consider a donation for Radio Airtime, because that's what keeps us on the air. You can donate online, mail a check or money order, find all this information at prophecyhour.com, or simply call me. And now I got through the commercial, so let's get back to Pastor Carl Gallup, if he's still hanging on there. Still with us, Carl?
Yes, sir. I'm not going anywhere. Thank you.
Anyway, yeah, I didn't realize it snuck up on me. I'm out of Bibles, you know?
Yeah.
Just crazy.
That's amazing. That's a good thing. I mean, you know, we need to rectify that, but it's a good thing that you've been able to give those away.
Oh, yeah, they consistently, you know, they want Bibles. And if you would take a second, I got this pastor that helps me out when I'm not there, you know, he's an elder, they call him Grandpa, which kind of made him mad. That was funny. But he started a new thing. He said, you know, Pastor Dan, do you care if I give away cigarette papers, you know, because the homeless and poor, you know, they'll roll their cigarettes out of, you know, wherever they can find, okay?
Right.
And I'm not condoning smoking in any way, shape, or form. It's one of the worst habits on the face of the earth. But he asked me, he said, can I give away cigarette papers? And I said, well, I wrestled with it a little bit. They're going to smoke. Okay. It's on you. That's not a Messiah's branch thing. But if you want to give them away, entirely up to you.
Uh-huh.
Well, he gave them away for about 2 months, and he got overwhelmed with people coming from all over wanting cigarette papers. Well, he prayed about it, you know, and I just stayed out of it. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those, I'm staying out of this. They asked me about them. I said, you go talk to Craig. Well, then Craig says, well, he said, I was going to write scriptures on those papers and give them to him, but he said, I got a new thing. And I said, what's that? And this is where our Bibles went. He said, well, I'm going to tell them if they want cigarette papers, they have to come up, take one of them Bibles over there, any point that's red Bibles. You get one of them red Bibles and come up and read a scripture to me and then tell me what it means. And then they can have some cigarette papers. And I said, really? And so I thought, this is going to be funny. Everett, you know, and he whittled off probably 3/4 of those people. But out of what was left that come back to him, they're actually engaging and spending, you know, not just 2 minutes with him, but they're spending 30 minutes at a time and they're going over scriptures. And it's just an explosion. And then here's the biggest one that hit my heart. This young lady that is, she's a prostitute and she lives on the street. And she's also has at least 3 separate personalities. And she doesn't like men. Here's a big kicker. She's scared of men. Well, that's probably because of what she does, right? Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, she is actually coming up and conversing with Craig and she gives him a scripture and she wants to talk about it, but she explains it. And then she's been trying to give him back cigarette papers. And he said, no, give them to somebody else. But this girl doesn't talk to men. You understand?
Yes.
She will come into my office and just sit there. And I don't talk a lot to her, but she just likes the protection. But, you know, it's just so it's a real wonderful thing. But since that's happened, you know, the people that these people that are getting engaged over talking with him in Scripture are taking the Bibles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we need Bibles. End of story.
Yeah. No, that's amazing, nice Pastor Dan. That's amazing. I'm so glad you told that. I could see all of that in my mind's eye as you were talking. Bless your heart. Yeah. Well, do you want me to pick up where I left off?
Anyway, while we're talking about Bibles and things, we were going to talk about the 70th anniversary of Israel.
Yeah. We'll That's exactly right. And yeah, and I was just, you know, I was finishing up that first part about that. This, I really think, folks, I mean, I could be wrong. I just really think we're going to see some amazing major things unveiled this year that will be even more prophetic. A lot of it will be tied to deep state, et cetera. However, in the midst of all of this, it wouldn't surprise me, because we are in this jubilee year period. We're in this 70th year of Israel's birth period. We're in this year of Jerusalem being declared the home of the United States Embassy, which also makes it declared by the United States and Israel officially the capital. The rightful capital of Israel, which it, you know, has always been since David's reign, and so that's amazing. And listen, I know you've talked about this on your shows before, so some of the things I'm going to say your listeners have already heard, but maybe I will say some new and different things as well, and if not, at least they will hear me say some of the same things. But here's the deal, Pastor Dan. Everything I'm going to say you already know, but here's the deal. The very fact that there is an Israel that we can be talking about in the Middle East is astounding. I mean, that is prophetic. And I know that there are all kinds of, I'm going to call them, false teachings out there. It's a fake Israel, and that's not real. It's just a construct of the United Nations and of man. It's not a thing of God. Well, excuse me. Wait. Yes, it is a thing of God. Why is it a thing of God? Because he said it was going to happen. And he said he would bring them back, but he didn't say, I mean, what's he going to do? Reach down, scoop them up by his hand and put them there? No, he's going to work as he does in 99% of the things. He's going to work through human affairs, but they're going to be miraculous events. Let me tell you how miraculous it is that Israel did come back to the land in 1948. Prior to 1948, and you and I have talked about this, brother, you go to the commentaries that were written prior to 1948. Look at the dozens. Go to the scriptures, the dozens of scriptures that speak of the return of Israel in the last days. I mean, those scriptures started in Deuteronomy chapter 30 before they ever set foot in the promised land. Moses was in a spirit of prophecy talking about Israel's whole future. Part of it was that God was going to disperse them to the nations in generations to come because they would be unfaithful to him. But in the last days, he would bring them back to the land from all the nations to which he had dispersed them, and they would be more plenteous in the land than they had ever been before. That's in Deuteronomy 30, brother, before they ever set foot in the promised land. And so now we are living in that generation, but if people will go look at the commentaries for Deuteronomy 30 and Ezekiel 38, and I mean, I could go right on through the scriptures of all of these scriptures, where the prophets prophesied that in the last days Israel would be resurrected out of the valley of the dry bones, Ezekiel 37. I mean, and you read the commentaries, and 98-99% of them could not fathom that would literally happen in this age. They would write things like, well, that can only happen when the Lord Jesus himself returns. It's humanly impossible. It's physically impossible. The Jews are scattered. The Hebrew language is pretty much extinct and destroyed. They've been assimilated by the nations. We don't even know where they are anymore. How could they get back? That land is under such dispute, and it's been owned by empires throughout throughout history. No one will ever allow Israel to be there. The Arabs won't allow it. The Middle East, the Muslims won't allow it. It can't happen. It can't happen. It won't happen. But God will do it when Jesus returns. Well, of course God could do it when Jesus returns, but that's not what the scriptures were saying. The scriptures spoke of Israel being back, Jerusalem being the centerpiece of it, Jerusalem being surrounded by a coalition of nations in the last days, Jerusalem eventually being attacked, but then God intervening again, and all of those things were said, and God meant it literally. And 2,600 years from the time Jerusalem fell and Israel fell to the Babylonian Empire went by, and the prophecies are still coming out of the mouths of the prophets during those 2,600 years that Israel will come back. Israel will come back. Before the return of the Lord, Israel will come back. In 1948, boom, it happened. And the next day, a handful of Arab nations aligned themselves and attacked Israel. And 19 months later, Israel became victorious, and there it was, sitting in the land. They've been attacked five or six major times since then. They've won every war, every battle. And in 1967, 50 years ago, they reclaimed Jerusalem, but there was such an international outcry for them to return Jerusalem to the, quote, Palestinians. And, of course, Israel never did, and they've shared it and, you know, and all that's happened since then. But the thing is, but they kept saying, this is the rightful capital of Israel. And then in the 1990s, the United States Congress agreed with them and passed the American Embassy Act to place the embassy, to officially recognize it as the capital of Israel. But it was kicked down the road under President Clinton for 8 years, under George Bush for 8 years, under Barack Obama for 8 years. And along comes Donald Trump, who promised during the campaign, as all the others did, including Barack Obama, when he was campaigning and early on, he promised that he would move the American embassy to Jerusalem. I mean, they all lied to us, but Donald Trump said he would do it. He came in, his first year he did it, and of all things, it happened to fall in the 70th year. It happened to fall in that 70th year was also the 50th year. It was a year of jubilee. It was 50 years since 1967 when Israel was reclaimed. And then 50 years later, in 2017/2018, Jerusalem is once again declared the capital in the 50th year, in the jubilee year. And as you know, brother, from your study of the Hebrew and the ancient scriptures, the jubilee year was the year in which property was returned to its rightful owner. And in 67, Jerusalem was returned, if you will, to its rightful owner. And in 2017-18, the jubilee year, Jerusalem is now declared capital of Israel. And the U.S. is getting ready to move its embassy there on May the 14th, 2018, 70 years anniversary to the day. Prophetic. Several days after President Trump made that declaration in December the 6th, of 2017, a few weeks later, the United Nations had an emergency meeting. 100-something nations showed up and voted that they were voting against it. They stood against Donald Trump. They stood against Israel. They stood against Jerusalem. But it didn't matter because it's going forward. And God is up to something, brother. And I hope all that makes sense to you and to your audience. But I can see the hand of God, the prophetic, all over this. We're living in the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ. Israel has returned to the land. Jerusalem has returned to Israel. Jerusalem has been declared capital of Israel. The United States American Embassy is getting ready to be put there. And right now, in 2018, there are more people, more Jews, more Hebrew people living in the land of Israel than ever before in human history. More than in David's reign, more than in Solomon's reign. More Jews are living in the land of Israel, and they're still coming in by the tens of thousands every year, or hundreds of thousands. They're piling in. And they predict that in the next few years, there will be more Jews living in Israel than there are in the United States. And most of the statistics have it that right now living in Israel are 6.5 million Jews living in Israel. And there's anywhere between 6.5 and 8 million Jews living in the United States. Listen, brother, down here in Florida, the population of our state is 20.2 million people. There are only 13 to 15 million Jews in the entire world, and 6.3 to 6.5 of them, million, live in Israel right now according to the prophecy of God's word that would happen in Deuteronomy 30, and we're living it, we're watching it every day, and prophecy continues to unfold, and most of it centers around Israel.
Yeah, amen. You know, you may, and when you first started talking about this a minute ago, you brought up the fact that, you know, people said, well, you know, when Yeshua returns, of course everybody could go back to the land or whatever. But, you know, that to me, that is so, I know I've heard that argument from so many people that profess themselves to be biblical scholars and researchers and got huge ministries. But when you look at the word, and we've talked about this for sure, especially when we talked about, you did that really good program with me, and I think you've got a copy of it, not from me, but about the temple not having to be rebuilt. In fact, I got you on after I listened to that and wanted you to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
But my point is this, real clearly you can see that some things are already established before Yeshua returns, but, you know, as far as the temple goes, the temple is rebuilt by him, and it plainly says that if you really look at, you know, the Old Testament scriptures about it, it really says that. So people are waiting on things that have been fables, if you will, have came to them, and they're waiting on implausible scenarios before to say, well, this and this has got to happen before Yeshua's return. But, Carl, it's going on in front of their faces. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And I'm looking at the clock. We've got less than 10 minutes, but I was going to say, man, we could talk about that for another hour, brother.
No,
but you're right. And that's the thing. And see, this is how prophecy works, brother. And you know this. I think you and I have done shows on this, too. You know, when you take Genesis 3:15, way back in the Garden of Eden, when God said, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. He will bruise his heel, but that seed that will come from the womb of a woman will crush his head. Well, that's the first prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. But that happened thousands of years ago. It happened before the flood. It happened in the beginning of time. It happened in the garden. God was the first prophet. And so, but look, it took thousands of years before it came to pass, but it did come to pass. But in those thousands of years, think of all the generations of people that were coming and going, living and dying, saying, maybe, you know, the Lord will come in our time. He'll come in our time. And when it didn't, a lot of people got discouraged, and maybe the word wasn't correct, and maybe God got it wrong, and maybe there is no God, and maybe that's not the word of God. I mean, all these things. But yet, what was happening? God's word was moving forward anyway. It was moving forward through the generations until it was just the right time, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians. He said, at just the right time, at just the right time, the Savior was born of a woman, of a virgin, from the womb of a woman, to deliver us from our sin at just the right time. And so God was moving it forward. So here we are. We're immersed in the middle of the return of Jerusalem. I mean, the return of Israel, the return of Jerusalem, the collapse of the Middle East, Turkey collapsing into an Islamic caliphate, Russia and China in the Middle East, and Iran and North Korea, and borders collapsing, and heresy sweeping the churches, and we don't know what marriages are. We don't know what genders are. I mean, the days of Noah, the days of Lot, bursting before our eyes, and so much of the church, Pastor Dan, just rocks along going, la, 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 nothing's happening. I don't see anything. I wonder where God is. I wonder what has to happen next. And it's popping right before our eyes.
You know, one of the biggest things, and this is where I don't get that, you know, so many do miss this, and especially, I will say, pastors, because some of them, you know, they're embracing, you know, the transgenderism and embracing gay marriage and embracing gays and so on and so forth. With that, open your eyes. The Bible said those things were there once. And they're going to come back in a time of the end, but I don't understand the disconnect, you know, with those pastors. And I'm not saying all of Christianity, but a large portion has embraced doctrine that's not good for them.
Yeah, they've either embraced it or they ignore preaching the truth. And no, you're right. You and I are not being disparaging to pastors in general, because there are thousands out there that are preaching and teaching the kind of stuff you and I are talking about. There really are. The problem is there are tens of thousands that aren't. That's the problem. And I mean, that's been proven with statistical analysis and study of the Barna polls, George Barna Association, over years of research showing where these guys will admit, these evangelical, conservative evangelical pastors, 90% of them admit that they never talk about the kind of things that you and I are talking about, because they're afraid they're going to be considered nut jobs, or they're afraid they're going to hurt somebody's feelings about gay marriage or homosexuality or creation and evolution, or Israel and the return of Israel and the Jews, or the Palestinian Arabs, and you know, and so they just don't talk about it, and they don't talk about abortion, and they don't talk about, you know, Israel and the United States and our relationship, and they don't talk about it, brother. 90% of them.
Yeah, and that's, to me, you know, is a large part of the problem. You know, if the pastors would just start preaching the word of God again instead of being afraid, you know, maybe they're afraid they're going to lose their job. Who knows? But the point is, if they would just open the book and preach what the book says, it would change the whole landscape of this country and maybe even the world. But, you know, we just lift them in prayer. Doc, you've got about 2 minutes.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, and then so I'll end where we started. You know, you said some nice things about me and my ministry, and again, I give all praise to Jesus if all of that is true. But it goes back to where I started. That's why my priorities, and it seems to be this is your priority as well. Number one, advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Well, God's using my gifts to do that in many ways. He's using your gifts to do it in other amazing ways. And together, the two of us and others like us are advancing the kingdom of God. That's my first priority. Second priority right behind it, though, is to try to protect and preserve this constitutional republic, the freedoms we have, the God-given freedoms we have, our constitution, rule of law, so that we can continue to proclaim boldly without threat of going to jail or having our families destroyed. And so that's the thing, brother. And I think more and more pastors are beginning to join us. I think more and more churches are beginning to wake up, brother. And so keep doing what you're doing. What you're doing in Messiah's Branch Radio is so important, brother Dan.
Well, amen. I'm just trying to serve a God that saved me from being a terrible human being, to let me die and become born again, and I'm just thankful. And speaking of thankful, I'm thankful for you being on with us, but we got to go, brother.
I know.
Thanks for being on. Give your website as you're going out.
I will. CarlGallops.com. CarlGallops.com. Thank you, Pastor Dan. You're a great friend and brother. I love you, brother.
All right. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, that's Pastor Carl Gallops. Go over there and check out his books. I really like the last book that I really like all of his books, but I really like his last book, Gods and Thrones. And now Pastor Carl seems like he's on a roll. He's going to have another book out this year, and I think pretty soon we're going to start talking about it. He wasn't allowed to talk too much about it because that's the way that people are that are publishers. Most of the time they don't let you do it until it's already over with. Anyway, but go check out his website, PastorCarlGallops.com, and pray about everything that you hear on this, whether it's this radio program or the one that we do next. You pray about what we do. Just because Pastor Carl says it or Pastor Dan says it or somebody else that's on here doesn't necessarily mean it's absolute. We're just trying. You know, we see through when it comes to prophecy, we see through a glass very darkly. Anyway, pray about supporting Wichita Ministry Church. We do really need your help. And radio, listen, you enjoy these radio programs. We're only on here by your grace because this program sells nothing. Now, the commercials, they're not our commercials, so consider supporting radio airtime. But remember, folks, when it all comes down to everything, it's all about being saved. And there is only one God. You must pray to the right God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. And he gave his life for what? Our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. And he tells us how to pray. He says, pray in my name. Don't pray to me, but pray in Yeshua's name. So do that, folks. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, Father, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.